Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to Sanctuary in Jena, Louisiana. We are here to be a refuge for the broken. I'm Pastor Heath Harris, and we are excited to grow in the knowledge of Jesus with you. Now let's go deep into the Word today.
About the crucified life. Last week I talked to you about the dead life, and that was really about the wrath of God. What are we saved from, and what are we saved to? And this week I want to talk to you about the crucified life, or another title might be the resurrected life. The crucified life and the resurrected life. I was born into this. I was born into going to church. My mom and dad were very, very religious, great Christian, and are great Christian man and woman of God. And they had their season of not walking with God, so they raised me in church. And so I grew up knowing about Jesus. I grew up playing Hot Wheels under the pew. I mean, I don't know if that was you. I learned how to roll underneath. Before we had chairs, you could roll from the back of the church to the front of the church. And mom and dad and everybody would be having prayer service or whatever. And me and my friends would see how fast we could roll back and forth. You know, while they're all down here doing holy stuff. We're down here rolling back and forth. So that's how I grew up in this. And I grew up in a Christian family. 3 to 4 times a week I was in church. So it was hard for me to understand what it meant when they said, die with Christ. Because I have always known Christ. So how can I die with him? I would think if they said, well, die to stuff, die to self. I was thinking, well, that probably meant die to the things that other people are doing. Die to the things that the world is doing. Die to things out there because I was born in here. So what does it mean to die with Christ? I had been baptized at 6. I'd said the sinner's prayer. I read my Bible almost daily. I never said not one cuss word in high school. And yet, at 17, I died. At 17 years old, I walked this aisle on a Tuesday night in my home church, and Heath Harris died, even though I was born here. That day I died, and ever since I've been dying. In that moment, in fearful trembling, I met God in a way that I can't explain other than perfect love, perfect joy, perfect peace. I was given my life fully over to God. Parts of me died that I didn't even know were alive. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and from that day on, it has been a continual death of Heath Harris. And then in my 20s, in my early 20s, I realized how much more I had to die. And there was a moment on a Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:30 in the morning, I finally surrendered my past, my present, my future to Christ. And I just fully gave over everything about myself to him. And I can literally tell you that Heath Harris, the person that used to be, completely, utterly died that day. And he's been dying again ever since. Died to my wants, my dreams, my personalities, my shyness, my fears, my anxieties. It was at once, but then it was gradually. And that's what I want to talk to you this morning about, this crucified life. I think most people don't really understand what it means to follow Jesus, and the disciples didn't really either, so we're all in good company. They didn't really understand until they got to the cross. To the cross, to this crucified life. Sometimes we come to Christ and we think it's about believing in Jesus, which it is, and living up to some religious measures, some do's and some don'ts. Maybe we come to him out of guilt or emotion. We make a profession of Christ, but we don't know how to press on to Christ. We make a profession, but we don't know how to press on. Or maybe we find him, but we don't know how to follow him. We find him, but we don't know how to follow him. Instead, we follow some religious routine. We think it's Christianity. The emotion fades. The conviction fades. All the temptations of life come back, and we find ourselves back right where we were to begin with, and we don't know why this Christianity doesn't work. We don't know why we're so frustrated with living the victorious Christian life. We don't understand, why do I keep not living this life that all these people keep talking and preaching about? Well, it's because you don't understand the crucified life, the resurrected life. So what's a Christian? Turn to your neighbor and ask him, what's a Christian? What is a Christian? You know, we say these things like, Jesus paid it all. Praise God, he paid it all. But what is the all? What did he pay for? We say that I am free in Christ, or my debt is paid, and we say he's paid it all. I'm free. Salvation is free. So guess what? I'm off the hook. What is a Christian? It's a person who's united with Christ. It's the goal of this person is to be like him. And we said Jesus paid it all. Why? Because he gave his all. And if you are to be a Christian that is united with Christ, listen, if a Christian is a person who's united with Christ, if Jesus gave his all, what do you have to do? Give your all. You say, well, if Jesus was crucified, what do you have to do? You have to be crucified. If Jesus was resurrected, what do you have to do? You have to be resurrected. And if Jesus gave it all, you have to give it all. You see, salvation is free, but it's going to cost you everything. Salvation is free, but it's going to cost you everything. Christ was crucified and resurrected, and so must every single Christian be. You see, this life that I'm about to talk to you about is about a dead life and a living life. It's about being dead and alive both at the same time. And how can you be dead and alive both at the same time? It's kind of an oxymoron. Crucified life. I don't understand. Crucified means death, and there's the life part. So how do you be dead and alive at the same time? It's taking one step into death and then taking continuous steps into death. It's taking one step into life and then continuing steps into life. And the one thing I want you to get, and we're going to get into our text, is it's a phrase that has stuck with me, that God put it on my mind, my heart again. And I actually had to look. I'm like, Heath, where did this quote come from? It was from a book that I read many, many years ago that has always stuck with me. And it says this: Christ lives in the heart where self dies. Christ lives in the heart where self dies. And that's what we're going to say today. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. If you're there, somebody give a big amen. Okay, the crucified life. Let's read what Paul says in Romans 6, verse 4 down to 11. Therefore, we have been buried. Somebody say buried. Buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, so too we might walk in the newness of life. For we have become united with him in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died is free from sin. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Somebody say live. All right, dead and alive. Here we go. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died once to sin for all. But the life that he lives to God. And here's the key, verse 11. Even so, consider. Some of y'all, King James says, reckon. I like that. Reckon yourself. Consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God. Let's say that again. Dead to sin and alive to God. Dead to sin and alive to God. That is the crucified life. How are you dead and alive? If you are a Christian, it means to be united into Christ. And Christ both died and lived. And if you are to be united with him, you must both die and live. You have to live the crucified life. You have to live the resurrected life. And what he did for you, you must do now with him. What he did for you, you must do now with him. I love what A.W. Tozer said. He's got a book we'll not even get into today, but he has a book called The Crucified Life. And here's what he defines it as. He says, it's wholly giving yourself over to the Lord in absolute humility and obedience. It's not just about being saved, but it's about being united with him in spiritual perfection. It's not about being saved. If you're here today and you learned about being saved, that's great. But it's not about being saved. It's about being united with Jesus. It's not about getting out of hell and getting away from the wrath that we talked about. That's good. But that's just the first step. This is about being united and being into perfection with Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you four questions today, and here's the first one. Number one is, did you actually die? Did you die? Did you die? Turn to your neighbor and say, did you die? Did you die? All right. Did you die? This is the first question we're asking ourselves today. Number one is, did you die? Paul said, hey, it's like baptism. You've been baptized into death, and how awesome it was that we had baptisms kick us off this morning. But it was like going down into the water as into the tomb with Christ. You died with Christ, But he's not really talking about water in this text, because we could think it was a water that was just the ritual that saved us. And like I said, sometimes we get baptized as a kid and we don't understand what it means. And so is it the water that saves us? No, the Bible is pretty clear about that. It's not the physical water, but it's the spiritual water. So in 2011, I went to Port-au-Prince, Haiti for a couple of weeks and stayed there. We went on a missions trip and stayed in an orphanage, and we were right across the road from some voodoo priests. And I got to kind of have front row scene for what voodoo looked like. And did you know that in Haiti specifically, the voodoo that is there came because Catholic missionaries came in to witness to and convert these African slaves who had all this African religion, right? We have voodoo here in Louisiana, right? So they started out this way, though. They were conversions really didn't take place. They learned all this Christian stuff, but they mixed it with their African pagan religions, and voila, you get voodoo. Now, you wouldn't think about it. We think voodoo is like, oh, that's the devil. But it started out because people didn't understand what it meant to die with Christ. It was a blending of things together, some from this religion and then this religion, and it made an abomination. Now, we may not be practicing, I hope, voodoo here in the room today, but there is something I think just as bad, just as much of an abomination, is that we in America can so easily mix the old and the new together. We can mix some of our old life and keep a hold of some of those things and join it with this new stuff of Jesus, and what we get is a weaker, not the same, even worse off version of Christianity, and we think we've got it. How much of my old life and my old way of thinking have I brought in to this thing that is calling me to follow Christ and be united with Him? I wonder if we're not following so much so here in America today our own style of voodoo, and we call it Bible Belt Southern Christianity. I think God sees it as the same, because we've called something dead that never died, and we call something living that's not really living. The problem is many didn't die when they started trying to follow Christ, because they didn't understand it. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24? Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever wishes to lose his life for my sake will find it. So you don't only just believe in Jesus, you have to die with Jesus. We must all go to the cross. Paul mentions baptism here because in the first century, when you would become baptized, you would literally have to leave your old pagan religion from your family, be outcast from your family to join this new family. Then that family would be the family that took care of you, because you would no longer go to birthday parties. You would no longer, even some people would lose their jobs. You would be ostracized from all of your in-law softball games because you did not adhere to the family religion. And you were baptized publicly into this new religion, and so therefore you're no longer part of us. And to be baptized in that day meant to be marked for a new thing, to be many times marked for death. And we put it on as a thing that we do, but did we really, truly die? Have we died with Christ? Has it been a turning point in a new identity? You see, in order to be united with Christ, you have to first be united with Him in death. And Paul says, you've got to give up. You've got to totally surrender. And it also means this. You don't just die to your sin, but you die to your goodness. This is where I got messed up in my early years. I was like, okay, don't die to the bad stuff. Don't sin. You know, don't watch those bad movies. Don't cuss. Don't drink. Don't have relations with people outside of marriage. Okay, don't do drugs. Da, 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 da. But I thought I was a pretty good person. I thought I had it all together. And God had to tell me to start dying to my goodness. You see, you die to His lordship. It's like, okay, I'm going to die to my sin. But He's like, no, you got to die to any self-works. You've got to get to a point where you die to any area of your life that you think you can help God out in any way. because there's nothing you can do that is good. Paul said, there is nothing good in me that is in my old sinful nature, that apart from God, there is no goodness in me, and there's nothing I can do to help him out. So my little prayer every day, and my little reading every day, and my church attendance, and my tithing isn't helping God out in any way if I'm doing it separate from him. If I'm trying to do this on my own to make God like me, I'm going to fail utterly. And that's how many times we're on this circle, that we're always trying harder and trying harder. And here's what I had to do in my early 20s and later on in my early 30s. I had to get to a place where I said, Heath, you are trying and then you are failing. And getting to a place where Heath Harris stopped trying and he started dying. You have to stop trying and start dying. Jesus went to the cross for you, and you have got to go to the cross for him. So the question is, did you die? Like, totally die. Not just die to the bad stuff. Did I die to the good stuff? Die to trying harder. Because Christ lives in the heart only where self dies. If you are here today and you think there is anything you can do to help God out, you need to confess that you are utterly helpless and hopeless in any way. Romans 3:20, no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands, because the law just simply shows you how sinful you are. There's no religious goodness or works I could ever do that could get me closer to Jesus. I have to not try. I have to die. So number two question is this: did you live? Somebody say live. All right, Heath Harris, did you die? Did I really die to all my self-works, my bad stuff and my good stuff? Did I really die with Christ? All right, Heath, now did you live? Did you come alive that day? Did something birth anew on the inside of you? Just when we talked about baptism, had another word in the Greek, it's baptizo, but in that day with Paul, in certain cities, they have this cloth. And they would baptize this cloth. This is how you made clothes back then, like we do sometimes today. You dip it into this ink or this dye, and it would go down white. It would come back up in a different color, like purple. And you would say, I baptized that cloth, and it came back up. Well, it came back up in a different form and fashion. It had a whole new identity. It wasn't even the same cloth in a sense anymore. And that's what Paul says. When you went down with Christ, you came back up in Christ completely different. That something alive, something new. He says, you've died with Christ, and so we believe we'll live with him. There's an old life to lay aside. And Ephesians says, a new life to put on. The problem is sometimes we don't know what to put on. We start putting on religious stuff, okay? I got saved. I go to church. I read my Bible. I got to pray. I got to tithe. I got to attend. All those are great things. But that's not what he's saying. What did you put on? He says, you've put on Christ. John said, Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, you've got to be born from above. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, there's old things that will pass away and there'll be new things that come. And if you've come to a place where you've started putting on the Christian part, say, well, I can look like Pastor Heath, or I can look like Bradley, I can look like John or Craig, I got to look like the Christian part. So let's start putting on Christian stuff, Christianized stuff. Here's what happens. You get the Christian knowledge, but you don't get the Christian nature. You can get all the head knowledge you want, know all the doctrine, you can pick a denomination, you can like it, and you can go there and you can get a suit and tie and it looks good, but you can get all the Christian knowledge and not get the Christian nature. You can look all this stuff and come alive to things that really aren't alive at all. You see, we aren't really alive because we never really died, perhaps, in the first time. There's a fad right now, this zombie movie. It's been out for a while, right? Zombie. You know what I'm talking about? A zombie, okay? So Walking Dead kind of stuff. I think this is kind of what this looks like to God. You see, a zombie is something that was dead, right? And in these movies, it comes back to life, and it's horrible looking. It's alive, but you know it's not really alive. It's the walking dead, right? It's an abomination of something that used to be alive and used to be dead, and now it's somewhere stuck in between. Is that not really a picture of modern American Christianity? You see, it's not something that's fully dead, and it's not something that's fully alive. It's somewhere stuck in between because we never really died to begin with, so we've never really come alive. And you wonder why you can't walk straight. And we wonder, why can't I have victory over sin and temptation? How come I don't have this true joy, Pastor Heath, you're talking about? How come I don't feel God moving me to read my Bible, to pray? How come I'm not joyfully wanting to be here? I'm making myself come, but then when I go home, I just get back into the old way of thinking, living, and doing, and feeling, because really, ma'am and sir, you never came alive because you never died. You're like the walking dead, and you're stuck trying to figure this thing out. And listen, you are so frustrated, you can't get it. Because I know, because I've been there. I lived there for years, and I was a pastor for a few of those years. And I'm like, how come I can't get true victory? Yeah, I died that day, but I've got to keep on dying. So that's the next question. Are you still dying? See, did you die, and did you live, and are you still dying? You see, the life happens when the Spirit breathes on you, He baptizes you, He comes in you, but then you have to keep dying. It's like this. It's like the weeds in Louisiana, man. You round up them today, a good rain comes by, you got to round up them all over again. And if I had stock before I moved to Louisiana, I could have bought some Roundup, and we would be building a church today, because there's something about this, it just keeps coming back. And so Paul says, I died, but then I die daily. There's a did you die and did you live? Okay, there's this initial step into death, and there's an initial step into life, but then there's a continual dying and a continual living. So, did you die? Did you live? Now, did you keep on dying? Am I still dying? So here's the third question. Are you still dying? If you've ever struggled like me to get true freedom in an area of your life, something that you have continually succumbed to, you're living in mediocre victory, and you think, well, here's what you get to, because I've been there. Well, I'm not perfect. You know, only Jesus was perfect. And, you know, at least I'm better than so-and-so, and I come more than they do, and, you know, at least I serve on more teams than they do, and, you know, I'm not like what I used to be, and this is okay. I'm good enough. You know what that's called? It's called a religious spirit. Because religion always settles for a status quo of good enough. I've sacrificed enough. I've given enough. I've served enough. I've prayed enough. I'm doing pretty good. I'm satisfied right where I am. Yeah, you're satisfied right into a religious spirit. Because the Christian life is all about keeping on dying. Jesus said, if you would deny yourself, that's the initial step, and you put that cross on your shoulder, that's the first step. And then what did He say? Now follow Me. You see, the cross is not about just taking it up. It's learning how to walk with it. It's not about just taking it up one time and say, okay, I got it on my shoulder. What do I do now? I'm good right here. This is good enough, right? I've made a profession. I'm doing a Christian thing. He's like, no. Let's go somewhere. Let's take a journey. And where I walk, you walk. And where I go, you go. And you keep that cross because I've got My cross. It's not just taking up the cross and saying, I've sacrificed enough, but it's learning how to walk with it. He gave His all, Tozer says, so you must give your all. You have to give your all if you are to be united with Christ, because He gave His all. You ask me, what is this Christianity thing? How come we don't see revival in the Bible Belt right now and our country's falling apart? How come our kids in rural Louisiana are facing the same problems that they are in New York and Las Vegas? How come we still see pornography and prostitution? Do you know there is an outbreak of AIDS in rural Louisiana? Because we are facing the same problems as the rest of the world, but we are neglecting so great a salvation. Then He says, are you dead? Are you alive? And are you still dying? Still dying. He gave His all, so you must give your all. It's kind of like these, my wife likes these little remodeling shows. Where's all the remodeling show fans? Come on, HGTV lovers, let's see your hands. Be proud. Okay, HGTV, right? Some of y'all can watch it all day long and night and binge it on the weekends because it, I don't know, Chip and Joanna Gaines or something. Laurel, Mississippi. Okay. All right, so here's what happens in this drama, right? These couples will buy a house together, and this is why you watch it, because you like drama. They will buy a house together, and they own it. Then they will spend the rest of the weeks fighting over how to do it and how to use it. Well, I don't really want that room to look like this. This is going to happen. The plumber says this. This room's going to look like this. But no, I can't do that because the roof's leaking. We found raccoons underneath the side. And then, and it's like this whole drama of the husband and the wife trying to argue about how it could possibly work. You know, that's a perfect picture of Christianity, because we said, Jesus, here's my house. Let's buy one together. United with you in Christ, we own this house, and guess what? It is in shambles. It's my life. It's in shambles. And yeah, man, I want you to remodel this thing and make it what it ought to be. And he says, okay, I'm going to demo this wall and pump this wall out here. We're going to plumb that there. He said, wait a minute. I had dreams for that room looking like this. I really like that color, Jesus. Man, I really like those vanities. Man, that's what I had in mind. And he's like, well, honey, for that to work, we've got to demo this, and that's not going to fit in the budget, blah, blah, blah. And this is a battle, because you gave Jesus control when you initially died. You said, hey, let's buy this house together. I don't have any credit, so we're going to have to use yours. You buy it on your tab, and we'll just say we own it together. And he says, okay, would you let me do something with it? Oh, it's good for you to own it, but I still want to be in charge of doing something with it. You see, are you still dying? Are you still dying? When's the last time you died to something? When's the last time you gave something up because you saw him giving it up? Paul says, reckon. He's a southerner. Reckon yourself. Consider yourself as dead. What does that mean? Reckon. He says in chapter 6, verse 12, do not let sin. Somebody say, let. Do not let sin. What does that mean? That means you got to give it permission. He says, don't let sin. Consider yourself dead. Do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, therefore obeying its lust. And he goes on, he says, in chapter 8, in verse 13, he says, but you must die by the Spirit. You are putting to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. Listen, sometimes I know I'm saved, but sometimes I don't feel saved. I know I bought this house with Jesus, but sometimes I don't feel good. I don't think saved. I don't act saved. I don't feel saved. But Paul says, reckon yourself. Consider it as done. Even if you don't see it, even if you don't feel it, you still have to confess it and believe it. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we often think faith is about the initial beginning of Christianity, of taking up my cross to die with Christ. But really, faith is not just an initial step. It's a continual step. I'm going to continue to fight sin until the day I die. And I trusted Jesus to take care of my sins initially. How can I not entrust him to keep on killing my sin and crucifying my sin with me every step of the way? It's simply to say, sin, I know you are not master over my life anymore. You may feel the influence of you. I see the effects of you, but I don't have to obey you by faith in Jesus Christ and by the Spirit he gave me on the inside. I can consider you dead. And even though you're raising your ugly head today, I am going to be crucified with Christ today in Jesus' name. It is simply saying it as so, confessing it as so, believing it as so, and saying, I died with him that day, and I'm going to die with him this day. And by faith and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you think that you're going to try harder and beat sin, you're going to fail. You'll succeed for a little while, and then you'll fail, and you'll go back, and you succeed for a little while, then you're going to fail, and you're going to go back. Because if there's any place in your life where you're repeating these behaviors, it's because we have a faith issue. It's because we have a moment where we need to confess, I died that day and I'm going to die this day. Paris Reedhead said it this way. He said, when he noticed that he was having issues with repeated sin, he said, how many people were on that cross? We say one. No, he says two. Two people were on that cross, Christ and you. He nailed your sin to that cross. It was you. your stuff that he nailed there. And on this side of the cross, you need to see that he's up there and he's nailed your sins and he's paid away for you. But you've got to come to this cross. And if you're on the back side to this cross, say, well, thank God he's got it. Now I've got the rest of my life to live in glory and I can do it from here. Thanks, Jesus. He says, no, no, no. Once you get past this side of the cross, you need to stop. You need to turn around and you need to see yourself on the back side of that cross. That as it went through his hands, the nails went through his hands on this side, it poked out the other side and went through your hands. And as his nails went through his feet on this side, it poked out the other side and went through your feet on the other side. That you and him together have to die. That you have to see yourself and consider yourself as dead to Christ. He says it's like when a woman is released from her marriage vows at death, Paul says. It's like you see that this vow has been broken, but you feel the effects of that relationship even after they're gone. Sometimes it's hard for a spouse to move on and get married again. He said, that's what it's like. You have to consider that sin died to you that day, and Christ paid for its punishment. He paid for its death. Sin has no mastery over you. It shall not be lord over you. But you may still feel the effects of it, but you have got to believe, even though I feel the effects of this old relationship, it is dead in Jesus' name, and I do not have to obey it any longer. Now I can move on into my new marriage with Jesus Christ, and he's my husband. He's the Lord of my life, and I'm focusing on, am I living now? The last one is this, are you living? Are you living? I died, I lived, I'm dying, and now I'm living. Have you seen yourself there on the cross with Christ? Do you reckon yourself, do you consider it as such? And then now I can focus on this new relationship. Am I living? What does it mean to live? We're going to talk about this more some on the next one, but you see, it's not just about not being who you used to be, but it's about being who he wants you to be. I'm going to say that again. It's not just enough to not be what you used to be. It's not about just not being what you used to be. It's about being who he wants you to be. Sometimes, listen, you are so focused, we are so focused on not being a bad person. We don't know how to be who he wants us to be. We've taken a measure of, I didn't cuss this week. I didn't lose my temper this week. I didn't look at pornography this week. Me and my wife didn't fight this week. I was an okay dad this week. I didn't hit that coworker this week. Thank God, this time. You know, whatever. We're so focused on that, but you haven't really started living. You haven't learned the peace and the love and the joy. And Paul says, there's a spiritual fruit that no religious law can get you to. He said, that the law is fulfilled in things like this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. He said, there's no religious thing that can get you to this. And this is where you learn to live. Listen, some of y'all need to graduate. We had a graduation ceremony just a while ago. We've got to learn to graduate into the Spirit-filled life. I'm wrapping it up. I want you to just bear with me. Just listen to some of these verses Paul says. This is the resurrected life. This is what it means to live in Christ. This is what it means to live your life by Christ and for Christ and to Christ. He says in Romans 6:11, you should consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to. Somebody say to. You're alive to God. When I married my wife and I have been together, 23 years today. We started dating 23 years ago this day. And our relationship has not been based, there's a lot of don'ts that we know not to do. But when we were dated for 6 years and we got married, when I got up to the preacher man who's up there marrying you, he didn't say, do you promise never to forget taking out the trash? Do you promise never to cuss at your wife? Do you promise never to do this and never to do that? Never to say you hate her? No. What did he say? Do you take her to love her today, yesterday, forever, to the death do you part, right? Do you take her? Do you love her? And what does Jesus say? The law is fulfilled in this. Love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And then likewise is love your neighbor as yourself. You see, all of the don'ts are fulfilled in the do's. And living the Spirit-filled life is about living out the do's, not just the don'ts. The don'ts won't get you to live in the Spirit-filled life, but the do's. I live to God. I live for God. I live from God, by God, through God. I live to Him and for Him. He is above all things, and all things are held together through Him. And listen, Paul says it this way. He says, you have become partakers of the divine nature. That's Peter, 2 Peter 1:4. He says, it's setting your mind daily on the spiritual things. Colossians 3:1. Therefore, if you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. Somebody say above. Not on things on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Are you really, truly living? I'm not here to ask you to doubt your Christianity, because the Bible says the Spirit will bear witness in your heart, Abba Father, that I know that I'm saved. Question is, are you still pressing on to life and life abundantly in Christ? But before you could ever get there, you have to say, am I still dying? Before you can get there, you have to say, did I come alive? Before you can get there, you got to say, did I really die? Did you die? Did you come alive? Are you still dying? And are you still living? This is the crucified life. This is the resurrected. This is what Christianity actually is. Living to Him. I'm dead to sin, but I'm alive to God. It's worked out in my life. I've kind of just naturally started seeing the fruit of it. I'll just be honest, even in the last month or so. Been doing this thing for a long time. And I have been noticing, this is not Heath Hairston, I've just been noticing the Holy Spirit moving on me in little moments throughout the day. I never knew what it meant to pray without ceasing. You know, the Bible says, you know, Jesus says, can you pray 1 hour with me? I don't think you can pray without ceasing until you can learn how to pray 1 hour. But when you start begin to pray 30 minutes to an hour a day, and then you begin to learn what it means to pray without ceasing, I've been noticing myself in the car line, at the table, my family will be doing something just secretly in my own breath. I'll just say, God, fill me right now. Just little moments. The Holy Spirit just moves on me and asks me. I just know that I need to take a next breath. My next breath needs to be in Him. It's little moments to the chicken coop in the middle of the evening. I'm just looking up at the stars and I'm just saying, God, man, you're beautiful. Man, you're awesome. You look at a little blade of grass and a little bug on it. I have some bees, and I just went out there and look at the bees. And I just think about the wondrous, amazing things God created. You can begin to think about how awesome heaven's going to be. You look at the thunder clouds rolling in, you just think about the wonder and the power and the might of God. It's little moments of thankfulness that if you've gone to a lot of countries where they don't have hot water, and you turn that hot water on, you think, thank God for hot water, John. He's the water guy. Thank God for hot water. Just little moments of thanking God for air conditioning. Just little moments to abide in Him. To breathe Him in. Say, God, I need you in this moment. There's not even any bad going on. Just, I'm about to eat some mashed potatoes, and I just say, God, just fill me. I just need you. Right now in this moment, I just need you. Secret moments throughout the day that I just, like, God, I need you for life. Just my life is in your life. And I don't want any part of life without you. I'm going to talk to you about the abundant life next week. I want you to take a moment and bow your heads, close your eyes, because I so desperately want you to get this. I want you to live in Christ, not in church, not in religion, not in do's and don'ts. I want you to live the resurrected Christ life, that he died to pay it all. And maybe today you're not living in it all. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is God speaking to you? Where are you? How are you doing? And where are you going spiritually? What's the next step that Jesus has for you? As if Christ had come in the room today and said, hey, follow me outside this building. Is there anything that would keep you from following him? Is there any place that he would go that you would not? Is there anything that he would ask you to let go of that you couldn't stop holding on to? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in him, the Son, who died and gave himself up for me. Have you died? Are you alive? And are you still dying? And are you truly living?